I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 18 tonight as we look at a message I'm entitling The Power of Persistent Prayer. The Power of Persistent Prayer. As you're turning there, I'll tell you a story about a preacher that had a parrot. And that parrot, he loved that parrot. It was a pet and he'd had it for a long time. But the parrot was evil. It just was not a good parrot at all. In fact, every once in a while, it would use profanity. And so the preacher didn't know what to do with this parrot, and it was embarrassing. He was just afraid that it was really going to get him in trouble when parishioners would come over, and so he decided that he was going to have that parrot put down, put to sleep. But there was a lady in the congregation that just couldn't stand to see that happen, and so she said, "Pastor, before you do that, would you just try one thing to appease me?" And he said, "Well, sure, what is it?" And he said, "Well," she said, "I've got this female parrot in my house, and I have trained this parrot to sit and pray all day long. And so that's what this parrot does. And so I'm wondering if I could bring the parrot over to your house, maybe they'd get together and she would be a good influence on this parrot." Pastor thought, "Well, what have I got to lose? Okay, I'll try this." And so the lady brought over the female parrot, put it in the cage with the male parrot. The male parrot that was evil took one look at that bird and said, "Hey, baby, how about a kiss?" And the female parrot said, "My prayers have been answered." So, you know what? We know that one reason why we persist in prayer is because there's needs that we have. We always have needs. But I think that even beyond that, God wants to teach us through persistent prayer. Many places in Scripture it talks about that. One of my favorite passages in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. That's just a great chapter, Romans chapter 12. But in verse 12, it says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer." We should be persistent in prayer. You know, I heard someone say one time that prayer is to the soul what breathing is to the body. If you stop breathing, you know what's going to happen to you? If you stop taking air, and if you hold your breath long enough, you're going to pass out. Don't try it. I don't want anyone to try it in here right now, but I promise you that's what's happening. When your body doesn't have enough oxygen, you faint. And so you need prayer in your daily life. And so think of it this way. Think of it like breathing. Prayer or talking to God is like exhaling. Reading Scripture and listening to God speak to you is like inhaling. And every day you need to inhale and exhale. You need to intake the Word of God and you need to listen to the voice of God, that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. But you also need to be talking to God. That's why Paul said to pray without ceasing. Prayer is the oxygen that keeps us going. But tonight I want to talk about a specific kind of prayer. I want to talk about persistent prayer. Why we should pray persistently and the power that we find when we are persistent in our prayers. And Jesus told us a story to help us understand this principle. And it's found in Luke chapter 18. It's a parable that's really designed to teach us why it's so important to remain persistent in prayer. If you're like me, a lot of times I give up way too soon. I'm not as persistent as I should be in prayer. And so I want to look at this parable together tonight and think about the truths that Jesus is communicating in this parable on persistent prayer. So Luke chapter 18. Let's read the first 8 verses. I'll read and you follow along in your copy of God's Word, the parable of the persistent widow. Bible says, "He then told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not become discouraged. There was a judge in a certain town who didn't fear God or respect man. And a widow in that town kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he was unwilling, but later he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or respect man, yet because this widow keeps pestering me, I will give her justice so she doesn't wear me out by her persistent coming.'" Then Jesus summarizes this parable in verse 6 through 8. "Then the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? will he delay to help them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. And then, what about this in the end of verse 8? Look at this last phrase. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find that faith on earth? Father, I thank you for your holy word. And Jesus, I thank you for this parable that you told first to the disciples. And by virtue of the scripture, you're telling us tonight. And you're encouraging us to remain persistent with our prayers. Lord, we know that we need to come to you every day. We know that your word teaches us to give us this day our daily bread and to go to you every day with our needs. But Lord, sometimes there are things that we pray and pray and pray for, and it seems like there's not an answer. And we wonder, we get tired. Sometimes we're just tired and weary in life. And so help us tonight, Lord. I pray that tonight's message would be an encouragement to several who are hearing my words. I pray that it also might motivate us to pray more, to be more consistent and more persistent. Because, Lord, you love us. You're our Heavenly Father. And we want to grow in our Christ-likeness, and we want to grow in our relationship with you. And we know that prayer is a vital part of that. So help me to preach this message tonight. Give us ears to hear so that we might apply your word to our lives. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, maybe there are some of you here tonight that are so tired, you don't know how you can go on. Maybe there's something in your life that is really a stumbling block for you. Maybe there's something that really has you burdened or heavy-hearted. Maybe it could be that your marriage is in trouble, or it could have something to do with a job or a relationship, or maybe even a health concern. All of us know what it's like to be ground down by life. We know what it is just to be beaten down by the circumstances of life, don't we? I understand that, and you do too. It happens physically sometimes because our schedules are crazy and we have trouble finding balance. It happens emotionally because we're wronged by other people, or sometimes we're hurt, and sometimes there's just pressure and stress in our relationships. It happens spiritually. Sometimes you serve and you serve and you serve, and your output is more than your intake, and you find yourself spiritually empty to the point where you're tempted just to quit. And that's what Christ is contrasting here. He's talking about that you should pray always and not become discouraged. I don't know if anyone here is discouraged or not, but I'll just admit to you, there's times in my life when I get discouraged. There's times in my life when I'm low. And there's times when I wonder what I need to do to snap out of it. And this parable is very helpful for me, because when you can't see light at the end of the tunnel, you can always pray. And prayer is a wonderful thing that God has given to you for a lot of different reasons. But tonight we're going to focus on why it's powerful, why it's important to pray persistently. And so if you're taking notes, if you have your outline from the bulletin today, I want you to see four powerful things that happen when you pray persistently. Four powerful things that happen when you are persistent with your prayers. Here's the first thing. Persistent prayer is powerful because it encourages us. It encourages us. Again, in this parable, we don't know some things. We don't know the nature of this woman's burden. We do know that she has a grievance against somebody because she's coming to a judge. Apparently there's a dispute of some kind, and it's heavy on her heart. It says she's a widow. Jesus said she was a widow, so maybe she was being taken advantage of. You know, a widow didn't have very many rights in that day and time. Maybe she was being oppressed. Undoubtedly she was poor. Maybe she was having trouble making ends meet or getting enough to eat. She had no influence, so really, she didn't have anyone who could grease the wheels of justice, if you know what I mean, and get her the help that she needed. She could have easily lost heart, but she didn't. She was determined. When you read this parable, I don't know about you, but I'm struck by the fact that she was begging this judge for help day after day after day. Think about it. He'd show up for court in the morning, and there would be this poor widow woman in his ear. Later on, he'd go into the marketplace, and there she was. He might go and have dinner somewhere, and there he was. There she was, pleading with him in front of his friends. Everywhere he went, There she was, constantly in his ear, asking him for relief. And that just reminds me that when we're burdened and we're bogged down with cares and worries and fears and troubles, we can learn that persistence in prayer pays off for us too. And that's the first subpoint under point number one. When you feel like giving up, pray. It sounds simple, but man, the next time that you're really having a down day and you don't know where to turn and you're anxious in your heart and you're really troubled about the circumstances of your life, pray. That's what he's talking about here. And listen, I'm not just talking about those little bullet prayers that we throw up to God sometimes. Now, those have a place. I've come to understand that sometimes that's the best prayer you can utter. If something catches you by surprise and you've got to deal with something immediately, the best thing you can do, and I pray this prayer regularly, is say, Lord, help me. I need your help right now. So there's nothing wrong with those, but I'm talking about going to God again and again and again for as long as it takes so God can hear and answer your prayer, and that you should always pray and never give up and never lose heart. That's what he is communicating here. You see, the alternative to quitting is prayer. Prayer is the antidote to anxiety and being beaten down, and not just occasional prayer, but always prayer. This passage motivates us to pray when we're down and we're defeated. And I see this in the life of Jesus. Don't you see this in the life of our Master when you see the stories of his time on earth? I mean, here he is, busier than probably any human being who ever lived. I mean, he's got a world to save after all. And he was carving out large blocks of time for prayer. I mean, sometimes he would go away by himself all night long to pray. And so listen, if life's been grinding you down and you're struggling and you can't think of another thing to do, how about not only praying, but setting aside a larger amount of time than normal to pray and to bring before God these things that are burdening you down. There's an old gospel song, and I haven't heard it in a long time, but I love the words. The Message applies to what Jesus is saying. It goes like this. It says, keep on praying till light breaks through. Keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. So we're just to be consistent with our prayers. Jesus challenges his people, his followers, to not lose heart during the times when the answer to prayer is delayed, or when you're struggling and you don't know what the other end of the circumstance is going to look like. When you feel like giving up, pray. But there's a second admonition, I believe, that's built into this scripture tonight. When you feel like giving up and you don't think you can go on, remember. First is pray, but second is remember. Remember some things. You know, often when we're under pressure and we have struggles in our lives and we're facing a crisis, we tend to forget, don't we? I mean, we see that time and again in Scripture. Think about the children of Israel when they're being delivered out of Egypt and they're in the wilderness. First, before they even crossed the Red Sea, time after time they would look back and see that army and they were in terror. They had forgotten everything that God had promised. And so sometimes that happens to us. Or in the New Testament, I think about Peter. He's walking on the water. He wants to be out there where Jesus is on the stormy Sea of Galilee. And he's doing just fine until when? He takes his eyes off Jesus. When he puts his eyes on the storm around him and the waves and the wind, what happens? He begins to sink. And so that just reminds me that when I'm really under stress or under pressure, I need to remember. I need to pray, and as I pray, I need to remember. Now, if life's beating you down tonight, you need to remember two things about God. First off, you need to remember the promises. Remember his promises. What kind of promises has God made to you and to me that we find in his scripture? There are hundreds of promises. Now, I know there are some promises that were specific to Israel, but folks, you're his children tonight if you know him, if you're saved by grace, and there are promises for you throughout his word. And let me give you one good one tonight that I found, especially when you're going through a hard time, you feel like giving up. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Listen to what it says. It says, let us not get tired of doing good. I'm going to read this one because that's different on the screen. So we must not get tired of doing good. for we will reap at the proper time. What's that last phrase say? If we don't give up. There's that phrase again, that contrast. So we've got to continue to remember, continue to keep plowing, to keep sowing seed, to keep moving forward in our lives, even if it feels like we're not gaining anything. Maybe it feels like we're losing rather than gaining. That's a great promise. Because if you take your eyes off the reward that God has promised you, if you stop remembering, chances are you're going to fall back. You're going to fall into fear and anxiety, and probably you're going to fall into sin. So God promises a harvest, and that promised harvest is oftentimes what keeps me going when times get tough. Here's another, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. That's not going to be on the screen because I just thought of it, but it talks about, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. It's one of my favorite verses. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Isn't that something? That just reminds me that even though I may not always be faithful, God is faithful. And I can remember that when the going gets tough. You see, God is the author and the finisher of my faith. Like I read today in Romans chapter 1 in verses 6-17. He started it and he's going to finish it. And that just reminds me that my salvation and yours too is the work of God from beginning to end. And we need to remember that when we go through hard times. And listen, if God is in the beginning and God is in the end, then that only makes sense that I would trust him in the middle of my circumstances. And I don't know where you are tonight, but listen, God is with you and you need to remember what he has done. Remember his promises. And then second is just remember his power. Remember his power. There's a lot of verses that talk about that in scripture, but one of my favorites is simply where when Mary was visited by the angel, and at the end of that visitation, she said, how will this be? And the angel said, nothing is impossible with God. Isn't that good? Nothing is impossible with our God. And we just need to remember his power. His power is the same power that preserved Daniel in the lion's den. His power is the same power that brought the Israelites through the Red Sea and through the wilderness and into the promised land. His power is the same power that helped David to slay the giant. And his power is with you tonight, my friend. And so we need to remember. Remember the God that we serve and be comforted. God's going to keep his promises. We don't know exactly how God's going to respond to every circumstance we're in, but we know that he'll do his best for us. And that ought to be comforting when we're going through difficult times. And you may feel like giving up tonight, but if you'll keep on praying and you'll keep on remembering, God will encourage you in your trial. So encouragement, number one. Number two, persistent prayer is powerful because it empowers us. It empowers us. Sometimes we feel weak. We feel helpless. If you're like me, we feel hopeless. I did another boneheaded thing again. I don't know, man, what's up with me? Why can't I ever do it better than that? But listen, prayer empowers you. And persistent prayer particularly empowers you. What did Jesus do when he was tested in the wilderness? He prayed. What did Jesus do in the Garden of Gethsemane when he felt weak and vulnerable? He prayed. And what happened to him in those times? He was strengthened. He was empowered. And you say, yeah, but he was the Son of God. But yes, he was also fully man. The incarnation tells us he was fully God and fully man. And so Jesus sought strength. He sought to be empowered through prayer. And so that's what this story teaches us, is that we can be empowered through prayer. To empower someone is to give someone the authority or the power to do something. And sometimes the greatest power we have is the power we find when we humble ourselves on our knees. And so this story, first of all, it reminds us that we are not defenseless. We're not defenseless. Again, a widow in that culture had no power. She had no recourse. She really didn't have any type of authority over anyone. Very easy for her to give up because she didn't have any leverage. But she understood that she wasn't defenseless. Instead of quitting, she kept stating her case to the judge. And listen, if the grind of life is wearing you down tonight, I know a judge, and I know a judge that can help you. And that judge is the creator of the universe and the lover of your soul. And so this story reminds us we're not defenseless, but it also reminds us that our prayers are not pointless. They're not pointless. You see, sometimes I feel like I'm just wasting my breath. I'm wondering, is it really even worth it? Some people wonder that. Is it even really worth it to pray and to continue to pray persistently? I want to say a resounding yes. I think Scripture again and again says to be persistent. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. And this is the NIV I'm going to be quoting from here, but it says, I keep asking. Paul writes these words, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. That phrase, keep asking, tells me right there that our prayers are not pointless. That means that Paul went to the throne on behalf of the Ephesian church again and again and again. He kept asking. George Mueller, who's a great man of prayer in his own right in the 19th century, great English pastor, said one time, the great fault of the children of God is that they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. You see, the thing about persistent prayer is not so much that it changes God. It doesn't change God, but it does change us. Folks, when you are persistent in prayer, it purifies your motives. It forces us to confront our hopelessness and helplessness, and it distinguishes deep-seated desires from fleeting whims, things that really aren't that important. You know, I think about things that I've prayed in my past, maybe several years ago, and most of those things that I don't worry about anymore, I'm glad God didn't answer them. God didn't need to answer those things. They were prayers that really I didn't need to ask. And there's a lot of prayers that shouldn't be answered because, frankly, they're shallow. But there are other prayers that we pray and pray and pray for. Maybe it's for a loved one. Maybe it's for a situation in your home. Maybe it's for someone who's lost. And we pray and pray and pray. And what I want to tell you is keep on, because that is not pointless. So persistent prayer is powerful because it empowers us. Thirdly, persistent prayer is powerful because it enlightens us. It enlightens us. Verse 6, it says, then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to His elect who cry out to Him day and night? You see, there's another category for praying that we don't often think about. Sometimes we pray for the purpose of spiritual growth. And I think that this category of persistent prayer often falls into this area, where we ask God to grant wisdom or strength or perseverance or discernment or courage or deeper understanding. And that's when prayer really becomes important. And these are very biblical requests. And God is pleased to grant these requests because He's more interested in building our character than our comfort. Really, that's God's goal. His goal is to make me like my Savior, Jesus, conform to His image in my daily life. And so sometimes God will use the grind of life to smooth out the rough edges in my life. Think about a couple of things here. Let me give you some examples. The only way for me to become more patient is to have my patience tested. The only way for me to become more forgiving like my Savior is to be hurt. Sometimes even hurt like my Savior. And I'll never learn how to love my enemies until I have some enemies. And that's when God really conforms me to His image. So when I think about the characters in this story that Jesus told, I can't help but think that we are like the widow. We're like that widow. Now, you may not like to picture yourself in those terms, but we have an adversary. His name is Satan. And we are vulnerable. Satan is stronger than we are. He's more powerful. And we have a genuine need. And the Lord knows our need. And she's persistent. She kept coming to Him again and again. And she kept bothering Him with her continual coming. But that's where there's a contrast in this story, okay? We are like the widow. But listen, God is not like the unjust judge. God is not like the unjust judge. You see, this judge that Jesus talks about here was basically a jerk. He didn't care about anyone but himself. He had no compassion on a poor widowed lady. He didn't have compassion or care for the system. It says he was an unjust judge. But God, who is the great judge, does care about you. He's a God of justice. He's a God who sees the brokenhearted. He sees the widow and the orphan. And because He is your Father, He will listen to you any time that you go to Him. See, that's the point of this whole illustration. I believe that's what Christ is talking about. Listen, if persistence wins over an unjust man, think of what it does with my Father in heaven who does care for me. That's what He's trying to say. When you have to pray over a long period of time, certainly don't give up, because it's not like you're praying to an unjust judge. You're praying to your Heavenly Father who loves you. And it may seem like God is a long ways off, and it may even seem like He's unjust to you tonight, but He hears you, and He's going to answer you according to His good and perfect will. And God's going to bring about justice. He may keep putting us off. It may take some time. His timing is perfect. It's not our timing. But listen, our Heavenly Father will bring about His righteous answer to every one of our prayers and every one of our concerns. And it may be that He is enlightening us. We may need to learn something about ourselves, or maybe the journey we're on, the path where He's got us, where He has us headed. You know, He has a good plan for our lives, and sometimes He allows bad things into our lives, but the greater plan has a greater purpose. I heard a story about a man named Richard Vann that I want to share with you. He was the former president of Meredith College, which was a great Christian school. And when he was younger, as a young man, he lost both of his arms in an accident on a farm when he was 12 years old. And so he spent the rest of his life with both of his arms gone. And so later on, well after that time, as an adult, when he was president of this Christian college, one of his students asked him, what do you suppose you could have done if you would have had both of your arms going into adulthood and for the rest of your life? You know what Richard Vann said? Very wise answer. He said, if I hadn't lost my arms, I'd probably still be on the farm. You see what he's done there? He's recognized that even through the trials and challenges and heartaches of his life, God was still bringing about His good plan, and God had put him in places he never would have been if he wouldn't have struggled or seen trial. And so persistent prayer is powerful because it enlightens us. But there's a final thing I want to close with tonight, fourth and finally, and it really hinges on this last verse, verse 8. I want to read it again. Jesus says, I tell you that He, meaning God the Father, will swiftly grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find that faith on earth? I believe, fourthly, persistent prayer is powerful because it emboldens us. It makes us bolder. To embolden is to give someone the courage or the confidence to do something or to behave in a certain way. And when we pray persistently over a long period of time and we see God at work in our lives, we are bolder. We are bolder for His kingdom. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I need that. I need the school of hard knocks in my life so that I'll be stronger for God. Sometimes I'm stronger because I've come out of a trial than I ever would have been if God would have made it easy on me. And God knows this. God knows me. He knows what I need, and He knows what you need as well. And so we are emboldened, first of all, to glorify God. To glorify God. When Jesus said, will the Son of Man find that faith on earth? I think that's the first type of faith. You and I need a faith that glorifies God. I don't always glorify God in all that I do. But the longer I walk with Him and the more I see His graces in my life, the more likely I am to glorify Him in all of my life. And that's what this is talking about. So we do that by continuing in prayer for a long period of time. It's like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Again, I don't know if this will be on your screen or not, but just listen to what it says. Paul says, therefore, since we have this ministry, because we were shown mercy, here it is again, we do not give up. We do not give up. I like that phrase. I like the two words that go together in this verse of Scripture, ministry and mercy. We have this ministry because we were shown mercy. Ministry and mercy go together. Do you know that's true in your life? Ministry and mercy go together hand in glove. And so what I mean is this, mercy is what God has done for you. You're saved because of God's mercy. And so you have mercy, not only when you're initially saved, but all through your life, God is pouring out His mercy upon you. And mercy is part of your life. But ministry is part of your life. Because ministry is helping other people come to Jesus. And so both are going on simultaneously in your life, ministry and mercy. And so when life has been grinding me down, it really helps to remember God's mercy and carry out His ministry. And that's what we're talking about. So we are emboldened to glorify God. And second, we are emboldened to evangelize. To evangelize. That just means that there are some unbelievers out there that are having trouble seeing the truth. Paul talks in that same section of 2 Corinthians about how their eyes are veiled. They're veiled to the truth. They can't see the truth about Jesus. And he says that we are to be witnesses for Christ because there's a whole lot of people out there who don't get it. And so that's your ministry. We have mercy and therefore we have a ministry. All of us have ministry to do. The ministry may be next door with our neighbors. It may be a family member. It may be somebody you go and visit strategically and can we talk. But all of us have a ministry. You are a witness for Christ because you've experienced mercy. And that's our ministry. Now listen, not everybody you share with is going to become a believer. I wish that were true, but it's not. But that doesn't stop you from trying. Some of them are going to, and you're going to change eternity for somebody in your life. Maybe several somebodies. Since we've received mercy, we do not lose heart in our ministry. One of the reasons that I don't give up is because of these two things in my life, mercy and ministry. I see that God has been merciful to me, and even though I don't understand what I'm going through right now, I trust His mercy. But I also see that there's ministry to be done, and I want to do that because I want to glorify Him. And the longer I live in this life, the bolder I am about carrying out the ministry of God in conjunction with the mercy of God. And so He gives me the joy of helping others and the opportunity and the responsibility because of His mercy in my life. And I want to share a story that I hope will illustrate how this works. I heard this story recently about a guy named Roger Sims. I want you to listen. This is an amazing story. Roger Sims was hitchhiking home, and he would never forget the day. It was on May the 7th, and he was coming home from the service. He had been discharged from the Army, and he was so anxious to get home. He couldn't wait to get home and take that Army uniform off. This was several years ago, and never put it on again. And so he was hitchhiking down the road. And as he hitchhiked down the road, he really wasn't expecting to get picked up. He was hoping he would, but several cars passed him by. All of a sudden, this brand new black Cadillac pulled to the side of the road, and the window came down. The guy said, "Hop in." He couldn't believe it, that he would get a ride in a vehicle like that. So he ran over to the car, put his luggage in the back seat, got in the front, and immediately there was a conversation that took place. And this really well-dressed gentleman, very distinguished gentleman, greeted him. He said, "Going home for keeps?" And Roger said, "Sure am." He said, "Well, you're in luck if you're headed toward Chicago." He said, "Well, I'm not going quite that far, but about 30 miles outside." He said, "Well, that's fine. I've got business there." He said, "My name's Hanover." And they shook hands, and they continued to talk. And I think they talked about everything under the sun on this drive through Illinois. And Roger was a Christian. And during the conversation, Roger felt compelled to share his faith with this wealthy businessman named Hanover. But he was afraid. And so finally, he got about 30 minutes away from where he was supposed to be, and he realized it's now or never. And the Spirit was all over him, and he knew he had to share. And so he swallowed hard, cleared his throat. He said, "Mr. Hanover, if you don't mind, there's something really, really important I need to share with you." And he said, "Oh, what's that?" He said, "Well, I need to share about my faith. You see, I'm a Christian, and I want you to know how you can have a relationship with Jesus." And he began to tell him the gospel. Well, he listened for a while, and all of a sudden, Mr. Hanover pulls over to the side of the road. Roger thinks, "Oh, great, I've done it now. He's going to kick me out of the car and make me walk the rest of the way." But that's not at all what happened. Mr. Hanover had a tear in his eye, and he said, "That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard. Would you help me? I'd like to receive Christ and become a Christian." And that man prayed in that black Cadillac right there on the side of the road and asked Jesus into his heart. And after he'd prayed, he said, "That's the most incredible thing that's ever happened to me. Thank you so much." So he took him the rest of the way home and dropped him off. A couple of years passed. Roger starts a new life. I mean, he's home from the service. He has a couple kids. He starts a business on his own. One day he's packing for another trip. He's on a business trip. And he comes across the business card that Hanover presented him. And he looks at it and he says, you know, I'm headed into Chicago. I would just love it if I could talk to this man, this Hanover. I've not seen him now for 2 years. So he gets to Chicago, and he goes into this guy's office, and he goes to the secretary, and he says, can I speak with Mr. Hanover? She said, well, I'm sorry, that's not going to be possible today, but you can speak to his wife, to Mrs. Hanover. And so he says, that'll be fine, I'll talk to her. And so before long, she comes out, and she says, so you knew my husband? He says, yeah, and he tells her the story about how he, when he gets released from the service, he has this ride with him, he gives him a ride hitchhiking, and she says, can you tell me the date? And she says, I'll never forget the date. It was May the 7th. And all of a sudden, she starts crying. And he hesitates. He's like, well, I wonder if I should go on and tell her about what happened in the car or not. He said, well, I guess what have I got to lose now? She's already upset. And so he tells the story about how her husband, Mr. Hanover, accepts Christ. And she starts crying even harder at that point in time. And listen to what she says. She says, I can't believe, I prayed for so long that God would save him. And I can't believe it happened. And she said, this is what he said. He said, well, where is your husband now? And she said, he's dead. She said, do you know that he never made it home? He was in a car accident, was killed that very day after he dropped you off. And listen to what else she said. She said, you see, I thought God had not kept his promise. And I stopped living for God 2 years ago because I thought he had taken my husband and he was never saved. You see, that story tells me how important it is to pray persistently and to never give up, because we don't know how this master of the universe, how the judge, the good judge, the just judge is working. He's working in people all around us. He's working in different circumstances. Don't give up. When you're tempted to give up, pray, because there's power in persistent prayer. Let's bow now. Bow our heads and close our eyes. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to pray for you, and then we're going to have an invitation. I don't know what your need is tonight, but I'm certain that in this crowd tonight, there's people with burdens. There's burdens that maybe you've even given up on. Maybe you don't even think about them anymore. Maybe you're a little bit mad at God because God never dealt with that situation in your life. Or maybe you've just grown weary and worn out because life is hard. Like that widow had a hard life. A lot of obstacles, a lot of things against her. You've just stopped. Your prayer life isn't what it once was. Maybe you're anxious all the time, worried. This is a message from Jesus, a parable he told to his followers. And he's encouraging us and motivating us to pray so that things will change in our circumstances, but more importantly, so that our hearts will change, so that we'll be stronger. We'll be bolder. We'll have more joy in our lives. So I want to pray for you right now, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward during this invitation if you want to pray or make a decision. Father, I thank you for this parable that we've heard tonight. And Lord, I confess that my prayer life isn't always what it needs to be. I know that I'm not as persistent as this widow that Jesus talked about in the parable. Lots of times when bad things happen or hard things come about in my life, seems like the system is against me and nobody cares. I don't pray like I should. You know, if I'm facing a crisis or an immediate need right in front of me, it's easy to pray. But these ongoing persistent prayers, maybe for family members, maybe for friends, or maybe for situations in my own life, it's just hard. But Lord, prayer really is the antidote. That's what Jesus said. Prayer is what's going to not only get me through, but make me stronger. And help me to grow in my walk with you. Maybe enlighten me. Maybe I'm like Richard Vann and some awful thing has happened in my life and I don't understand why. Why did you take my loved one at this time? Or why is my health not what it once was? Why? And maybe it just takes some time to work that out. Maybe I'll never know for sure, but lots of times I can see your hand and I can see your direction in my life. But through it all, it means that we need to keep conversing with you. We need to keep our prayers persistent and consistent. And Lord, we believe that you're a good God. We know that you will never leave us or forsake us. And we know that your plan is always the best plan. And your timing is always perfect. So help us tonight to grasp what Jesus is teaching. And Lord, if any of us need to do anything, to make some type of commitment to you, or just come before you tonight and publicly come to the altar in prayer, help us to be willing to do that too. May your will be done in this time at the end of this service. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.